It's a long time since we started our journey in the book of James. And I know for a lot of us, it's been amazing how relevant this passage of scripture we've been looking at is for that particular time. It's as if God just sort of slotted it in just for them. But, you know, it's because of what's been going on in the church and in individual lives, it really has spoken into the lives of so many of us. So just a bit brief recap this morning. We've heard, haven't we, that we should be doers of the word, not just listeners. We've heard not to show favoritism. We've heard we've got to show our faith by what we do, to tame our tongues, watch what we're saying, to make sure our hearts are right, to always seek wisdom, and to be patient in suffering. And now we come to the last chapter of James. And I want to read from James chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. It's entitled, The Prayer of Faith. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. James mentions pray and prayer in this passage of scripture 7 times. Prayer is so important to us, both for ourselves, for the church, and for everyone that we come in contact with. And Satan's worst enemy is a praying Christian. Not true. He'll try and stop us by any means that he can. Just try sitting down and starting to pray. And all the things that come into your mind that try and detract you and keep you away from what you're praying for or to continue praying. And in verse 13 of our reading, James calls us as individuals to pray. In verses 14 and 15, he calls the elders to pray. And in verse 16, he calls church members to pray for each other. And in the last 2 verses, he again mentions prayer, mentioning Elijah as he prayed effectively for rain and for it not to rain. Paul in Thessalonians urges them to pray without ceasing. James, very much the same. We should pray in all circumstances and all seasons of life because prayer is powerful and effective. Now, I just read this about James, and it was the historian Eusebius, I think that's how you pronounce it, who said this about James, that his knees grew hard like a camel's because of the constant worship of God kneeling and asking forgiveness for the people. Just as a labourer's hands testified to his occupation, or a runner's feet to his training, James's callous knees testified to a life of serious prayer. So we ought to listen to what he says, not only because he says it, because he lived it. He was truly a doer of the word. I don't know about you, Nat, but getting down on my knees is fine. It's getting up again that's the problem. So in our reading, James teaches us to pray in all the different seasons of life. As we look at these, I hope we'll become very devoted and consistent in prayer, so we can build God's kingdom here in our lives and in the church. Firstly then, it says, "Is anyone among you suffering? You should pray." Now, I have to confess that for me, and I'm sure it's not just me, my first response when things are going wrong is to try and work it out for myself, apart from God. Sometimes to worry, to complain, to get depressed, all very wrong responses. James said we should pray. And the word pray is written in the present continuous tense, so we should carry on praying. Should really keep on going. The text that keeps popping up for us as a church over the years is from Philippians, which tells us not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, to make our requests known to God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted," or tested, that means too, "beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted or tested, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." So when we're suffering, we should continuously pray. That means we should pray whether we're in a time of conflict, when we're worried, when we're anxious. And don't sort of like I do, wonder how I can work it out myself before I go to God. It's good to go to God first. It's the right thing to do. So we should pray when we're anxious. We should pray when we're happy. And this morning we've been singing praise to God, haven't we? And praise is a form of prayer. We thank God for his goodness to us. We pray thanking him for who he is, for the joy which he brings to each and every one of us. We have so much to be thankful for. I love singing that old hymn, "For the Beauty of the Earth," this morning. Again, I haven't sung that for years, but it just reminds us of the beautiful place that we live in. And all the flowers, all the plants, all the scenery, it's so beautiful. And coming up the stairs this morning, I know a few months ago I was so grateful for the stairlift to be able to get to church, but this morning I was thinking how grateful I am not to have to use it anymore. And God is so faithful to us, isn't he? I'm sure each and every one of us can think of something that we need to thank God for this morning. But sometimes when things are going well, when we're really happy, we forget, don't we, to thank God. And even David in Psalm 103 prayed, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." Forget not his benefits. He gives us so much. So I even suggest that David had to beat to his soul to praise God in good times. Just for a moment, can we sort of think for ourselves of something that we need to thank God for this morning? There's so much, isn't there? Thank you, Lord. Even for waking up this morning to a new day in his presence. And it's quite normal to go in our Christian lives through good times and through difficult times. There's another old hymn which says, I think you've got the words, Johnny, through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. Through all the changing scenes of life. Sometimes it's thought in some Christian circles that Christians should always be happy and smiling. I know that we have the joy of the Lord, and I know that's constant, it's whatever we're going through, we have his presence and we can be so thankful for that. But perhaps if we're not feeling too joyful or happy, or we're feeling a bit down, perhaps something wrong, we tend to sort of keep it to ourselves, don't we? And a lot of churches and a lot of Christians believe that we should always have this happy, smiling face on. How are you? I'm fine. Now, I've said before what my definition of fine is. It stands for fouled up, insecure, neurotic, and emotionally unstable. And that's very often the case when people say, I'm fine. So how are you? Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, implying that both suffering and joy are normal in our Christian lives, our different seasons that we go through, that we should continually pray to our Heavenly Father. Going back to our reading, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I have a question, and I think I'll probably get different answers. Is healing the sick a normal part of church life here? And if not, why not? I'm sure that everyone believes that Jesus healed the sick. All the ones who were brought to him, all who came to him, he healed them all by the power of the Holy Spirit which was working through him. So nobody would doubt that Jesus healed. Nobody would doubt that the apostles healed and even raised people from the dead. But there's a big difference of opinion with a lot of churches. Many teach that the healing miracles ceased with the apostles. And we went to a lot of churches in our lives that believed that. When our children were small, we went to a United Reformed Church in Chelmsford. They had an excellent creche for the babies, and excellent Sunday school, and a wonderful choir which I was part of. But they had a minister there who believed in healing, who had healing services, and it was sort of frowned on a lot, tolerated just. But I remember when the children were small, I had a lot of trouble with my gallbladder and ended up in hospital having it removed. And to this day, I can remember sort of being in a room on my own, getting over the anaesthetic. And suddenly I felt this warmth, this power sort of going all the way up my arm, and I'd never experienced anything like it. And when I opened my eyes, this minister was sitting there holding my hand and praying for me. And that was the first encounter in my life of the Holy Spirit actually working in my life. Praise God. I think he went on to write a book on healing and continued with his healing ministry until he died. James makes it clear that healing is a normal part of church life, and that healing is one of the gifts of the Spirit. Duncan talked a lot about the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit last week. And it mentions here particularly for the elders to anoint with oil and pray for them. From the age of the apostles, the apostolic age, to the beginning of the last century, it seemed that healing miracles ceased. We never hear much about them at all. We hear the odd case where a saint, perhaps, had prayed for someone and they got better. But on the whole, we haven't heard anything up to the beginning of the last century. We heard of anointing with oil, which I think the Catholic Church still practice today when someone is just about to die, called extreme unction, I think. And but James, his teaching was to raise them up, not to kill them off. But with the Pentecostal and the charismatic movements in the 20th century, there was a widespread return to the healing ministry, praise God. Healing, as I've said, is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And we believe here that the gifts are for today. Amen. Duncan was talking about the gifts and the fruits, as I say, of the Holy Spirit last week. James assumes that the person who's sick here is a member of a local church, and that in the fellowship there are elders, and that part of their ministry is healing the sick. And that doesn't mean if you have a bit of a sniffle or a headache that you call for us. The Greek word used for sick means weak or infirm, that is to say, totally laid up. Unfortunately, it doesn't mean old age and the problems that go along with it. Now, going back to our years in mission, I always, from then on, carry oil around with me. It's the one I've got is frankincense oil, but there's nothing magical about it. I use it in faith that the Holy Spirit is going to touch the life of the person I'm praying for. But it's the prayer offered in faith that makes a sick person well, not the oil. And it's not just the elders. We're told to confess our sins to each other and to pray for each other. It's all part of being this loving, caring church that I pray that we always will be. I've prayed for many people over the years with many different illnesses. Some have been healed, many haven't. Will that stop me? No. I never know this side of eternity, why some people are healed and others aren't. Or why, when I've really believed someone was dying, And God sort of nudged me to pray for healing. That person got well. I never understand that, because it was with no degree of faith that I prayed for that person. So God is sovereign. Some people are healed instantly, and that is wonderful. Some over a period of time, some with medical science, and some with God-given skills of the surgeons, and some are not. We'll find out one day why some are and some aren't, but in the meantime, let's keep on praying and believing that God can and does heal. At the end of our passage of scripture, James talks about Elijah. Now, Elijah seemed to be a man of great faith, but he was absolutely terrified of one woman, Jezebel. And he ran away from her, he hid, he got thoroughly depressed, he thought there was nobody on his side. But then we're told that he was a man with the same sort of failings, the same sort of doubts as we are then. But he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed for it to rain, and it absolutely poured down, which it has been doing here. So whoever is praying for rain at the moment, can you please stop? Our prayers are powerful and effective. Amen. So just to recap then again on the book of James. I'm always amazed that James, or his name would be Jacob. There wasn't a James then. Just to recap, I'm always amazed that he grew up with Jesus. And it was only after Jesus' death and resurrection that he became a believer. But why not read it again for yourselves? It won't take long to read it through. Or maybe listen to it on YouTube. I like to listen to David Suchet reading scripture on YouTube. And it takes, I think, less than half an hour to listen to the book of James. But it's full of wisdom and full of everything that we need for everyday life. It's the book of Proverbs in the New Testament. So to recap on what he said, be doers of the word. Don't show favoritism. Your faith should be seen in what you do. Tame the tongue. Seek wisdom above everything else. Be patient. Pray in all circumstances. And just to finish, one lovely verse from the book of James, which is from chapter 1. And it says this: every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you again for our time in the book of James. Thank you, Lord, for all that wisdom. Thank you for the help it is for our everyday life. Thank you, Lord, that we can pray to you in every season of life. That we can pray to you when we're feeling down. We can pray to you when we're happy. We can pray to you when we're sick. Thank you that prayer is so effective. And Lord, I just pray you keep reminding us that we need to pray and seek you in everything that is going on in our lives. In Jesus' name, yeah, amen. Amen.